So in Texas, a director owes a Texas nonprofit corporation a duty of obedience, which means you comply with the certificate of formation provisions, which is your governing document, and then you comply with the terms of the bylaws. So if you violate something in the bylaws, not following the voting procedures, for instance, if you do something that would be prohibited by your certificate of formation, or in some states it's your articles, that is actually a breach of a fiduciary duty. Basically, I would say if you are dealing with new directors, you want to make sure you get them familiar with the terms of the certificate and with the bylaws. I think sometimes people join a board and they're really excited about the organization and what it does, but it's important to get up to speed on these perhaps less exciting corporate matters. So it's always a good idea if you are, you know, an executive director or in some kind of position like that at a nonprofit, to maybe have an orientation when you do have new board members coming in. And this is important to also understand that if there's ever a conflict between what your bylaws say and what your certificate says, the certificate always overrides. And I've seen people have confusion about that. Sometimes I don't like to put purposes provisions in bylaws, because that's one of the areas in particular where I've seen folks get confused and they start seeing the purposes clause in a bylaw and they don't bother to pull the certificate, and they may not be the same, and you need to follow the certificate or the articles. So that's important in terms of, you know, adhering to your duty of obedience. So directors of a Texas nonprofit corporation must perform their duties as a director, including when they're serving on a committee, in good faith, with ordinary care, and in the manner the director reasonably believes is in the best interest of the nonprofit. So it's similar to what you get in the for-profit world. You don't have to get it right every time, but you have to try and you have to act in good faith. And, you know, you should always have a proper motive and you should have sufficient information. So if something has come up and you really don't have the background and there's someone pressuring you to do a vote on the matter right away, you really should speak up and say, you know what, I think we need to get more background on this transaction before we move forward with a vote. A director has to act in the best interest of the nonprofit corporation, and they will be treated as doing so if they believe the action will benefit the nonprofit corporation, again, in good faith. If you meet this standard, you will not be held personally liable to the nonprofit corporation or to any member, if it's a member corporation, or any other person. So it's just really important to always be acting in good faith, and as we'll talk later, that also means disclosing potential conflicts of interest. The Texas Nonprofit Act specifically addresses investments, and it does say you can contractually delegate that out to an investment advisor. So that is fine, but part of your duty is to make sure that's someone who is competent. So you need to actually make sure it's, you know, a professional who works in this area. And if you've done that, you're generally not going to be held liable for the things that that investment advisor did. It's okay to properly delegate that authority out. Something, though, to note, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, is we have something called UPMIFA, which includes provisions governing how you invest institutional funds or charitable funds. So when you have an investment advisor, you need to make sure your agreement with them says that they're going to comply with the UPMIFA standards, which we'll get into a little bit more. So that should be part of you entering into the agreement, that they understand they're going to follow these prudent investment standards set forth in that act. A director also owes a duty of loyalty to a Texas nonprofit corporation and to nonprofits in other states. So the duty of loyalty requires you to place the interests of that nonprofit corporation ahead of your own at all times. And you have to disclose any conflicts of interest, and you cannot use the board service as a means for commercial gain. And I would say, for the most part, when you're actually reading the statute itself, it's the duty of loyalty is really discussed in terms of the conflicts of interest. There isn't necessarily a standalone provision just talking about the duty of loyalty. So where you're going to find this, if you're ever looking at a corporate statute, is going to be where they talk about conflicts of interest. You do need to check. In some states, the conflicts provision may only apply to directors. In other states, it may also apply to officers. So that's another reason why you need to make sure you know where this nonprofit was formed, who is involved in the transaction, is it a director, is it an officer, and how does this state statute apply? Now, as we'll talk later, the Internal Revenue Code has provisions that will apply to a broader group of people, but at least when you're documenting these discussions and things, you'd want to cross-reference the state statute that you're complying with, and if it's in, I believe, California, it only applies to directors, but in Texas, it could be directors or officers. So it's just a matter of understanding that you're documenting, if the law applied, you know, what the provision was. So that's important to always confirm